Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to the Maitreya program. We'd like to start with an article by the Master through Mr. Benjamin Krim, and this is from 2008. It's titled The Christ as Teacher. Many people await and expect the emergence of the Christ, but hold a very distorted view of how that will affect humanity. Many await him as a spiritual magician who will cancel out their and others' shortcomings and so establish everlasting peace. Theirs is a very passive view of this vast and complex happening. For Maitreya himself, it is an opportunity to come into a dynamic interaction with humanity to establish the principles of the divine plan and to inaugurate the era of right human relationships. This entails the active response and participation of men and women everywhere, a worldwide continuous process of change in outer structures and inner perceptions.
Maitreya does not see as particularly open and fruitful those areas of the world where Christians are in the majority, nor do other major religions inspire in him more hope of understanding. To be sure, in all religions are men and women who are ready to respond and to act for the benefit of all. Likewise, in every walk of life, in every country in the world, people await the signal that will summon them to action on behalf of their brothers and sisters, known and unknown.
Many await the Christ as the judge, sent to chasten and punish the lawbreakers. Maitreya, the Christ, is a teacher and will indeed teach man the laws of life, but a judge he never was, nor does punishment hold a place in his vocabulary. He will seek to inspire men to know themselves as souls in incarnation, traveling a journey of self-discovery together and helping each other along the way. He will affirm that competition hinders and deflects men from their path, rendering sterile each glimpse of the soul's nature.
Men have strayed far from that path. Commercialization has humanity by the throat and is squeezing every generous thought and gesture out of our lives. The souls of men can endure little more of this oppression and are crying aloud in their agony and frustration. They wonder then at the upsurge of crime and mayhem committed by the young in every land.
Maitreya will acquaint men with the origin of wars and military action around the world. He will show how even the climate and weather are disaffected as a result. Men have much to learn about the effects of their actions and the need for discipline and care. The Christ comes to teach, and men free with their free will intact must respond in order to grow. The Christ Maitreya never uses force, even if thus we would the sooner learn. He knows that only that which is undertaken by man's free will is lawful and likely to bear fruit.
Okay, so moving on to our next article, which is from the Point of View section of Share International magazine, the May 2021 issue. And the title of this article is Reclaiming Our Common Home, Expand the Commons to Include Everything We Need. And it's by Vandana Shiva, who is a renowned activist for biodiversity and against corporate globalization. The path to an ecological civilization is paved by reclaiming the commons, our common home, the earth, and the commons of the earth family, of which we are a part. Through reclaiming the commons, we can imagine possibility for our common future, and we can sow the seeds of abundance through a commoning. In the commons, we care and share for the earth and each other. We are conscious of nature's ecological limits, which ensure her share of the gifts she creates goes back to her to sustain biodiversity and ecosystems. We are aware that all humans have a right to air, water, and food, and we feel responsible for the rights of future generations.
Enclosures of the commons, in contrast, are the root cause of the ecological crisis and the crisis of poverty and hunger, dispossession and displacement. Extractivism commodifies for profit what is held in common for the sustenance of all life. For example, air is commons. We share the air we breathe with all species, including plants and trees. Through photosynthesis, plants convert the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and give us oxygen. "I can't breathe" is the cry of the enclosure of the commons of air through the mining and burning of 600 million years worth of fossilized carbon.
Water is a commons. The planet is 70% water. Our bodies are 70% water. Water is the ecological basis of all life, and in the commons, conservation creates abundance. The plastic water bottle is a symbol of the enclosures of the commons, first by privatizing water for extractivism, and then by destroying the land and oceans through the resulting plastic pollution.
Food is a commons. Food is the currency of life, from the soil food web to the biodiversity of plants and animals, insects and microbes, to the trillions of organisms in our gut microbiomes. Hunger is a result of the enclosure of the food commons through fossil fuel-based, chemically intensive industrial agriculture.
The enclosure transformation began in earnest in the 16th century. The rich and powerful privateer landlords, supported by industrialists, merchants and bankers, had a limitless hunger for profits. Their hunger fueled industrialization, and as a process of extraction of value from the land and peasants. Colonialism was the enclosure of the commons on a global scale. When the British East India Company began its de facto rule of India in the mid-1700s, it enclosed our land and forests, our food and water, even our salt from the sea. Over the course of 200 years, the British extracted an estimated $45 trillion from India through the colonial enclosures of our agrarian economies, pushing tens of millions of peasants into famine and starvation.
Our freedom movement from the mid-1800s to the mid-1900s was in fact a movement for reclaiming the commons. When the British established a salt monopoly through the salt laws in 1930, making it illegal for Indians to make salt, Mahatma Gandhi started the salt satyagraha, the civil disobedience movement against the salt laws. He walked to the sea with thousands of people and harvested the sea or the salt from the sea, saying that nature gives it for free. We need it for our survival. We will continue to make salt, so we will not obey your laws.
While the enclosures began with the land, in our times, enclosures have expanded to cover life forms and biodiversity, our shared knowledge and even relationships. The commons that are being enclosed today are our seeds and biodiversity, our information, our health and education, our energy, society and community, and the earth herself. The chemical industry is enclosing the commons of our seeds and biodiversity through intellectual property rights. Led by Monsanto, now called Bayer, in the 1980s, our biodiversity was declared raw material for the biotechnology industry to create intellectual property and own our seeds through patents and to collect rents and royalties from the peasants who maintained the seed commons.
Reclaiming the commons of our seeds has been my life's work since 1987. Inspired by Mahatma Gandhi, we started the Navdanya, a movement with the seed satyagraha. We declared our seeds, our biodiversity, our indigenous knowledge is our common heritage. We receive our seeds from nature and our ancestors. We have a duty to save and share them and hand them over to future generations in their richness, integrity, and diversity. Therefore, we have a duty to disobey any law that makes it illegal for us to save and share our seeds. I work with our parliament to introduce Article 3J into India's patent law in 2005, which recognizes that plants, animals, and seeds are not human inventions and therefore cannot be patented. Navdanya has since created 150 community seed banks in our movement to reclaim the commons of seed. And our legal challenges to the biopiracy of neem, wheat, and basmati have been important contributions to reclaiming the commons of biodiversity and indigenous knowledge.
So too with water. When French water and waste management company called Suez tried to privatise the Ganga River in 2002, we built a water democracy movement to reclaim the Ganga as our commons. Through a satyagraha against Coca-Cola in 2001, my sisters in Platchamada in Kerala shut down the Coca-Cola plant and reclaimed water as a commons. Ecological civilization is based on the consciousness that we are part of the earth, not in masters, conquerors, or owners, that we are connected to all life and that our life is dependent on others, from the air we breathe to the water we drink and the food we eat.
All beings have a right to live. That is why I have participated in preparing the draft Declaration of the Rights of Mother Earth. The right to life of all beings is based on interconnectedness. The interconnectedness of life and the rights of Mother Earth of all beings, including all human beings, is the ecological basis of the commons and economies based on caring and sharing. Reclaiming the commons and creating an ecological civilization go hand in hand. And that article was written for Yes Magazine, a national non-profit media organization that fuses powerful ideas and practical actions.
So moving on to our next article, which is actually a compilation of quotes from various sources. And the theme of this compilation is a spiritual perspective on economics. And this selection of quotes is taken from words from Maitreya that were published in the book Messages from Maitreya the Christ, and also the book Maitreya's Teachings, The Laws of Life. Also Benjamin Krem's Master, that was quotes published in two books, A Master Speaks, Volumes 1 and 2, and from Benjamin Krem's own writings. The first quote is from Benjamin Krem's Master, and it comes from the article Men's Lives Will Flourish. When men more fully realise the extent of the damage done to their lives by the economic and financial collapse of recent years, they will find it impossible to revert, as many hope will be the case, to the old system. That economy was shattered by greed, selfishness, and separation, but essentially by the action of the energies of the new time. Already more than men are aware, the energies of Aquarius work their magic on Earth. Increasingly, people are being drawn together in consciousness. The energies of synthesis are performing their beneficent work. Already many are responding in a new way, as if relieved of a deadening weight, looking forward to a world simplified but more united.
This next one is from Maitreya's message number 64. My teaching, simple though it is, will show you the necessity for sharing, for the creation of a pool of resources from which all men may take, and the substitution for greed of cooperation and trust, and the manifestation of the inner divinity of men. This manifestation, my friends, must proceed, for without it, the future for man would be black indeed. A crisis of decision awaits mankind. My love creates a polarity of viewpoints. That is the sword which I wield.
And a quote from Benjamin Creme. This is from his book, Maitreya's Mission, Volume 2. The world can no longer afford the vast discrepancies between the living standards of the rich and those of the poor nations. That imbalance is at the heart of our political and economic problems today. Basically, it is a spiritual problem, a choice between materialism and separation on the one hand, and spiritual sharing, justice and brotherhood on the other. Our choice will decide the fate of humanity.
And another one here from Benjamin Creme's Master, Maitreya's Mission, Volume 2. People make different demands on the law of supply. Some demand more of life, command greater resources, and if these are met, it can only be at the expense of those who demand or can demand but little. This is the blindness of market forces, which take no account of differences in status, whether it's economic, social, or other, of those who make the demands. Hence, the operation of these forces contain inbuilt inequality. They are intrinsically divisive. This is why Maitreya calls them satanic. If everybody started from the same point, there might be some logic to them, but nobody does.
And now a quote from Maitreya through a close associate, and this is from the book Maitreya's Teachings, The Laws of Life. The current creed adhered to internationally is that of market forces. Market forces mean one surrenders. The self is made to surrender to the unknown forces of life with a view to maximizing profit. The essence of market forces is greed and separatism. The more one is attached to these forces, the more they create cells of imprisonment. This leads to spiritual bankruptcy and mental disequilibrium. Maitreya will no longer allow unbridled market forces to prevail among the nations. The market will exist, but balanced by social democracy.
And now we have a question for Mr. Benjamin Creme. I read that Maitreya, your master, and you yourself think that commercialization is destructive. Why? The world has always traded. And Mr. Creme answers, there is a difference between commerce, for example, trading, and the effects of commercialization. Trading is a legitimate way of exchanging goods and, as you say, has been carried out for untold ages. However, commercialization is a situation in which making money or profit enters every possible field of human activity. Even the provision of healthcare and education becomes subject to this gross materialism. Today, commercialization knows no bound and cannot be contained. Every service is considered as a commodity, which can be bought and sold at will. This degrading practice is at the heart of our problems today.
So next we have another quote from Benjamin Creme's Master, which was published in the book Maitreya's Mission, Volume 2. The guiding principle of sustainability must be that of sufficiency and not waste. At present, the world's economic system is governed by waste. The profligacy of that waste has created our various pollution problems and constitutes a danger to the planet's well-being. This is only half realised. A sustainable economy is one that supplies the needs of all within the possibilities of the planet's health. At the moment, this seems impossible to achieve, but the technology of light will transform the situation for humanity and give unlimited ecologically sound energy for all our needs.
Well, that's all we have for you today. If you want more information, you can visit www.share-international.org or sharenz@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening and God bless.